It is 6 p.m. on August 27th, 2019. This is the time set for the Roy City Planning Commission to meet. Notice having been legally posted and published. We will begin the meeting with standing, please, and join me in the Pledge of the Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. On item number one, does anybody have any conflict to declare tonight on any of the items that are on the agenda?
No.
There being none, we'll move to item number two, approval of the July 23rd, 2019 work session minutes.
I move that we approve the minutes.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? There being none, they are approved. Item number three is a continued discussion of screening requirements. Steve?
I did finally receive one example of what people like. So it really is comes down to, is there something you guys direction-wise, height-wise, you guys would like me to start reviewing and looking at?
Okay.
Samantha did like kind of the options that Clinton provided. Doesn't necessarily have to be those exact ones, but at least have options.
What are those options?
Those are the ones with the setbacks. With
yeah.
Like, you, if you're this close, you have to have this much trees and then a fence. And then
it was pretty flexible, yeah. Right? I like. Yeah. I also like the way Clinton laid theirs out. Now, we don't have to copy it, but I think that's a smart way to go, the way they've done it.
Yeah, they just, the developer has an option of what they want. There's four or five options. Okay. If you don't want any fence, then it's, you know,
got a setback.
This max setback.
Foot setback or whatever.
Lots yeah. of trees.
Okay.
If you want a 10-foot
right.
setback, it's lots of trees and
okay.
brick wall. You know,
yeah.
so there's
I like
options.
That idea.
I do too.
Well, I did some driving around. I went to the Lowe's in Clinton,
mm-hmm.
and they have a vinyl fence. Excuse me. It's beige and it's stamped.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks fairly nice. That separates them from.
Mm-hmm. Single family and yeah.
The Lowe's in Layton has a pretty good setback on just for the delivery trucks and whatnot, and a small concrete wall, and then a 6-foot vinyl fence, white. The Lowe's in I go to Lowe's a lot, guys.
Riverdale.
in Riverdale, there's nothing around it. It's all pretty much commercial.
Yeah.
And then the one up in Ogden, the back of it, there's a creek that runs along, a creek for you guys from
mm-hmm.
here. Okay, that runs along the back of it, and they basically have a just a chain link fence in between them, but it's kind of back too. And so that, and I saw something else, and it was a white vinyl fence that's 8 foot.
So you want them to have moats around them? Is that what you're saying?
Only if you use alligators.
Oh.
Yeah. That would only be in
with
Florida. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, I think,
make sure.
Personally, I think if we're attracting commercial business, we want to be as flexible as we can,
right.
but yet I want it to look good. That's my attitude, is because Roy is so, well, we're an old city, and so we need to be conscious of the fact that if we put up too many restrictions, commercial company's not going to make, they're not going to come in here. If you say you got to do this, this, and this, and they've got a piece of land that's in Clinton that they can do the same kind of thing. So we need to be a little flexible, but still it needs to be pleasing so that you don't put a business back in the in the backyard of somebody that's got a house and they're concerned about it. There's over there where you live in Ivory, that piece in Clinton is up for they're trying to get it developed,
yeah,
right behind those, and those folks are really concerned, the people that live in those homes, that what's Clinton going to do to my backyard and what effect is that going to have on my house?
They've been concerned about that for like 16 years already.
No, but this is new stuff that's starting to move there. And
it's
so,
going to move
yeah,
there, okay.
Yeah.
Clinton, that zoned is the performance zone, which has those options of lots of trees, concrete. I mean, it already has a vinyl, so if I was the developer, I'd just keep the vinyl and go with that option.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's already vinyl fences behind us.
But yeah, it's just options.
But if I'm developing a piece of land, I'm going to, the more I spend on putting that piece of property in there, the less I'm going to put in my pocket.
I mean,
that's the bottom line.
I think it's a good idea, too, if we kind of somewhat mirror our neighboring towns.
True.
So, like, developers are coming in, they're like, well, I really like this in Clinton, you know, and then Roy might say, we only have one or two options.
Yeah.
If we're very similar, then we can also, you know, entice them with other stuff, I think.
Right.
So I think that might be good to look at our bordering.
Well, especially down in Midland, where we've got a chance for some development. It makes good sense what you said. It really does, because.
Mm-hmm. And Steve, can you get us a copy of whatever Clinton's is and let us take a look at it? And
I can send it to you and then kind of put some stuff together.
Pictures and stuff.
Last time I sent it to you.
Well, by far that was the option that I liked the best because it allows flexibility. But the closer you get to somebody's backyard, then I like having landscaping on the other side of the fence too. So if you have, you know, development, let's say a Lowe's or something like that, and you put up a fence.
Even a tree
but you go right up to the property, you know, and you want to maximize that whole thing. But if you go 10 feet off with trees or something in between on the neighbor's side, I know that's a little bit tougher, but you create a little bit more of a buffer if you get closer. I don't know if there's some options like that.
The issue would be with that is, am I now giving up that land to the neighbor behind me? If I put landscaping fence and a landscaping, neighbor's going to think that's part of theirs.
Even if they put up the trees, that kind of blocks the view from the residential.
So everything would just be from property line over. But
I
mean, right now, say, you know, we did have those our landscaping requirements are minuscule. I mean, even like if the assisted living facility, if there was a wall and say 23 feet of setback, but if it was just all landscaped, there's no tree requirement, there's no evergreen requirement, there's no nothing. It's just, it could have been all rocks with some ground cover and called good, even though it met our landscaping ordinance. It really doesn't do much.
It's not
so I kind of like the option of saying, okay, yes, a vinyl fence could be there, but you're going to give trees that are going to grow and then kind of
a natural barrier.
Yeah.
Like the fence between Maverick, I don't know if you've looked at that, but that's actually a really nice looking fence, and I think it's
Maverick.
A vinyl right on 5600.
Oh, okay.
Between that property, that's like a...
That's actually masonry.
Is it masonry? Yeah. Okay.
That's why I
didn't get
so
out
good.
And look. We're just looking, walking past, or driving past.
So the answer is yes, he's looked at it.
Yeah, he's seen it. But you know, you look at a wall like that between, and I mean, it looks really nice, you know. And I think there's some things with the vinyl, you know, like a white vinyl, I could see being a little bit more of a concern. But any of the molded,
the one
vinyl that has
Lowe's
a little texture to it.
In Clinton, it's a beige color, mm-hmm. but if you look at it from far away, it looks like it's a masonry wall because the print is block, kind of rocks. So you get big and small, and but it's a vinyl.
But something
fence.
Like that looks great. I don't think there's any issue.
And it could be similar colors to the building. You know, if they got browns and stuff in the building, why can't it be a beige rather than, you know, staunch white?
Yeah.
You know, I.
So we need to figure out how to encourage that for the developers.
Okay. Well, I'll start throwing some stuff together and give it to you for the next time to kind of massage, so to speak. And
yeah, as a base, though, I really like the way Clinton did it because of the flexibility and the different things. Because you go down here and look at those properties and you don't see the difference. Now, I'm sure if my house was there, I'd feel differently. But from my side of the view, it's better. And trees can make a
barrier. Just Lowe's and Kohl's, but go across the street where Panda Express and those there. Look at what's behind that. Because those are, I mean, not as huge as Lowe's and Kohl's and Walmart. It's a smaller development, but what they did there.
Yeah, they still have that landscaping. I think they have like the cedar down and some trees up.
Yeah, so just take a look.
Yeah.
So,
good.
It kind of gives me some...
Gives you some direction.
Yep.
And that would make your job easier, right, if we had more flexibility?
Well, I think it would...
Because you're the one that deals with these people all
the
time.
Yeah, to me, right now it's just... There has to be something, But our ordinance, because it was been written in almost, you know, different decades,
right.
The 2005 required masonry. Then somewhere 14, 15, or 16, we amended a certain section that allowed for vinyl chain link with slats, chain link, and didn't mesh the two together.
Right.
So the issue with the assisted living facility, the neighbor's saying, well, it's got to be this. And we're saying, well, here's an option down here. And the developer has the option between the two because of ambiguity. So I need to clean it up, make sure it's all
right.
Same, you know, similar. But how do we want to do it?
Okay.
I just don't want to throw one sentence out and say, okay, that's what it is. But let's
we need to be specific.
Take those two sections and somehow make it so it's the same.
Let's make it better rather than worse.
All right. Make it cohesive.
And I can empathize with somebody getting a chain link with slats because that's
I could do without chain link and slats.
That's me.
And
I could prohibit that.
It has purpose.
Especially between the commercial and residential. You know, in a residential neighborhood, I don't care if it's chain link or not. But if you're creating that buffer between commercial, it needs to be something a little bit.
Okay.
Well, especially, I'm sitting in my house going, okay, did the value just go down because the guy put a business behind me, and even though I knew when I bought the place, we don't think that far ahead usually. You know, it's.
What about the fence height? That was the other part of that discussion.
Well, again, it could be one of those options of, okay, your setback is 20 feet, and you do this, and it's a vinyl, it's 15 feet, it's this, and a 6 foot concrete or masonry, you do this, and it's a 10 foot and 8 foot.
Yeah.
Yeah, like. Closer you are to the residential property,
the higher the taller.
I don't know if I want to go taller than 8.
No, that's fine.
Because to me, that's just, that's a...
Wasn't there also a concern with our code with, like, you know, if the property was built up?
Yeah.
So if you were built up on a
lot, I'd probably keep that the same, but...
Then you put an 8-foot fence, that's going to be a 10-foot high wall.
I think there needs to be, and we could look at it again, if there's a separation of... 4+, then that fence can only be 6 feet, because then that would be, if it's a 4-foot retaining wall, that's a 10-foot wall on the lower side. So that, you know, again, we can still look at those things, but I'll throw out put some stuff together, and we can continue to talk about.
Well, isn't that what happened at that nursing home down there off of?
Yeah, because the original,
it's lower, they put it down.
Originally, it was to be a 6-foot fence on property line, and then the retaining wall was a foot from property line. Which, you know, they can do that, and then
the way the ordinance is,
they asked, they had me come down there, and I looked at it and says, it's going to be a little dunk, and I'm over the fence and gone. So I'm like, okay, let's just raise it up onto it, make it a 4-foot. They'll make it more difficult, and so the neighbors got mad. It's like, well, I could have left it.
At a 2-foot.
Yeah. Because one lady was concerned, it's only going to be a 2-foot separation. Some kid can just jump the fence and be in my backyard.
Yeah.
They can bring a ladder and get a...
There's...
if we start listening... Is this...
Yes, it is.
Yes, okay.
So...
All right.
But yeah, I'll start putting stuff together, and then... We'll talk about
be
it.
Good to go.
Okay.
Okay. How about item number 4?
You guys gave me, I like pictures, so didn't really help me much. So I grabbed a few cities. I tried to get some from out of the state, but no, we're not even going to go there.
Okay.
Most of them were just words, and it's like, okay, that doesn't help. So here's Farmington. This is a subdivision. It's only a 4-page document. So you have the first page just kind of has, you know, where's the parcel? Is it a public hearing?
Uh-huh.
Some background information, a map of parcel map where it's at, a subdivision plat, and then legal description, which, so it's quite simple. So the question comes again, you know, what we have, I usually have probably 2 pages of words, an aerial map of where it's at, and then probably the subdivision plat. That's really it.
I think maybe the discussion, if I remember correctly, was more pictures from the people that are like presenting their stuff.
So not necessarily the reports, well, it's more putting something together as well as...
Like the developers, like they were talking about that, and somebody said like...
I'm okay with your reports, like it's the guy that gets up there and...
In advance?
No, it's the guy that doesn't even show up when he has an application that gets me. But they show up there, and a lot of our people, just lay people, they don't know any better.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we could give them some guidelines of, you know, bring a picture, bring a slide, you know, something like that.
What is your vision?
Yeah, what is it that you really want to do with this piece of property? You know, and all this falls on Steve, of course, and you know, you just tell them, hey, what they're looking for.
Well, I mean, if we put together a presentation.
He can do it.
He gets paid. What kind of tech?
He's got secretaries.
Quick for an old man, huh?
Okay, so it's not necessarily
your reports, I think the consensus was your reports.
Your reports are okay. Basically...
Was that correct, that member?
All
like, that
work
what,
on that.
Because I brought that up specifically, is I want to hear the developer, the applicant.
And
I want to hear them talk and present their project rather than just, well, I'll let Steve do everything. Well, great, we know you've already reviewed it and everything, but I want to hear what their vision is and what their... trying to do, and that way we can really get into the project instead of just saying, oh yeah, it meets everything.
So bottom line
we know it kind of meets everything, right? Or they wouldn't be there, but let's hear a little bit. And I use the example of the assisted living center with the portico and things like that. You know, as I asked a couple of questions, all of a sudden now you're changing rocks and you're doing the HVAC, and it's a little bit more than what was there. And so I'm not trying to catch people, but I just, as a planning commissioner, if you're going to present an idea and want us to vote on it, I think we should hear from you. If you're changing the zoning, why do you want that zoning change, and what does that benefit yourself? Obviously, it's a financial thing, or you wouldn't be there. But how does it fit in with the neighborhood, and what really is your vision for it? I would love to hear that from them and not from...
So how do we educate them? Because if you think back of all the presentations we've had, the best one we've had is that car wash. The quack or whatever that was.
Quack.
That guy knew he'd done that before, and he knew what he was doing.
As
an advertisement, that was an attorney that presented.
We don't want
to
hear that.
Yeah. Well, even that.
That was
even
one
that
of the
small
few.
Little, that laundromat that was going to go in.
Yeah,
like,
they
he
did
was
a
like,
great
"Oh,
job.
I've got this, but I've done this before. Yeah. I wasn't aware of the ordinance." You know, maybe if you've got like a sample pack, like, "Hey, these are some examples of our expectations when you come in front of the planning commission." I don't know if you
Good
could
point.
Put that on there.
I think not only it would help us, but it would help some of the people that are there.
I think so too.
Kind of relieve their
worries. The other was the guys out of Wendy's district headquarters.
Yeah,
that came here. They this was their third or fifth or ninth time.
Passes board around that weighs 20 pounds.
But like the guy from Burrito Grande, when he came in, I mean, talk about like your average Joe, but when he talked about the sheds or the car wash,
yeah, he had the line drawings.
I mean, it was, that was, I thought, a great presentation. It was simple. It wasn't, I mean, I don't want the attorney to come in and give a presentation, but, you know, I mean, if you're polished and good, that's awesome. But even a presentation like that, where he just talked about, hey, I'm just trying to, you know, clean up the neighborhood a little bit. Here's what I want to do. These sheds, I'll paint them the same color as the restaurant. I want to do a little door in the front, so there's kind of an entryway to my restaurant, you know. But I thought he did a really simple but effective job of selling that, you know. And that's like two blocks from my house, and that car wash was a...
And he's building some little domers on the top of it, too.
I like that handout.
He's trying to spruce it up.
Yeah.
Where was, I can't remember, it's by the... I can't remember the name of it now. Where's everything that's under construction? Huge amount of dirt. The assisted living center. What's that called? Heritage Park. Yeah. So just right down the road from it, when that guy wanted to develop his property.
Yeah.
And we said no, we wanted like some bigger units and bigger stuff there. And then the second time it came back, he had the, like, you know, it was more like a real estate package. Like, hey, here's what you're looking at. Here's our different layout plans. That was pretty nice for like residential stuff, mm-hmm. instead of just like line drawings.
The one concern we're going to have is rezones. By ordinance, we don't require much to come with it.
Yeah.
As in, you know, layouts and stuff, because they're not going to want to spend a lot of money not knowing if it comes. Some have kind of have a concept, and like the one on 27, I said, you have projects you know about, you're going to think of doing it, go take some pictures and bring them back. So those are the kind of things you might get rather than here's a site plan of what it's going to look like.
Like everything we do, Steve, this is going to fall on you more than us. But when you're talking to the people, just basically that's the kind of, hey,
well, that's what I tell
the
them
commission's going to be more disposed toward what you want if you bring blah, 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 right. blah, blah. Okay.
Yeah, but a rezone, we have a lot more latitude because that's something we can just kind of arbitrarily reject a rezone. Where if somebody comes in with a project that meets all the criteria, they've got their rights as much as their neighbor does. And for me, at least in my understanding of things, it's almost impossible for us to say no if they meet the criteria.
And we can say no, rezone, it's expensive. And
it's early in the process. We don't have to have that site plan. But if they're asking for a rezone, then I think they ought to have a little bit of a vision as to what it is that they want. And I would like them to present that a little bit and say, hey, you know what, I want to build some apartments. This is kind of the rough concept. Or, what it's going to look like, I don't know yet, but this is kind of why I want this zone. And by doing this, we can do this and this and this, create this open space or do, you know, I think people can give a general concept of what it is.
Or if they don't have a plan, tell us they don't have a plan. Because I'm sure people want to rezone because they've been told by real estate people, well, if you do this, you'll sell it faster. Yeah. And they don't have any plan, okay? But basically, just tell us what's going on. Right. Yeah. Okay? It's a friend, we don't bite.
Well,
occasionally.
I'm seeing you do it, so.
But I think having some samples when they apply and get ready to go to the commission.
Well,
say,
I'll see what, you know, what others may have.
A lot
have
of it
anything.
On YouTube saying, hey, here's a couple of good examples that the planning commission really liked. Here's some samples of stuff you can do.
Because the better prepared they are when they come before us, they've got a better chance when they go to the
for a rezone.
In front of the
commission. Hey, so Steve, so you create your own YouTube channel. And then anytime you're like, this is how you submit it. And this is what a good one looks like. And then you can just send that out
and
to
he's
everybody.
Got the time, yep.
And you don't have to keep explaining yourself. You just say, hey, watch this video and then come back and see
just
me.
Just put think of the children at least once.
It's got to be in there at least one time.
Just don't turn into one of those lawyers that we watched on, you know.
Yeah. On which one? The Brent Bateman about the three hats you wear? Or he was actually kind of better than the Dave Church.
Whatever the last one was, where he just got up.
Dave Church.
I've been doing this for 40 years.
Yeah.
Brent Bateman, at least, you know.
Just don't turn into him when you
make
up
Dave's
the channel.
Low key.
Yeah.
Okay.
So where are we on the master plan? Or is that what we're working on now?
I think that's going to be.
Master plan's still being worked on.
It'll be done by February, right?
Yeah. It should. Actually, they were thinking they might have a rough draft in September, so.
That would be good.
Because all this folds into that, doesn't it, really? What we're talking about tonight. It's part of that, once you get the master plan and then get everything presented so we can go on.
Well, it just helps on future development along 19 and stuff.
But this will be kind of separate than the form-based stuff that we're doing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else we need to know, Steve?
Not on that.
Okay. Then let's go to item number 5. This is a commissioner's minute. Anybody have anything that they want to put on the record?
What's the deal with the dumpster at the assisted living center?
It's going to be moved.
Is there a
location, location, location.
Is there a reason, or is that something you'd rather know?
Low cost.
No,
funeral
home. Again, the neighbors.
There's no room in the.
Weren't as happy as you think they would be, and they require the dumpster to be 20. The dumpster is required to be 20 feet away, and
it's not.
I've told them that's my bad. I didn't
next
see
case.
It.
Move.
And so it's going to cost the city $35,000.
$48,000 is what they said tonight.
48.
Mm-hmm.
To move it?
Yeah.
Out of you up there?
Mm-hmm.
No. Move it to be 20 feet away.
How far is it right now?
Three.
Oh, slight,
but it's only one dumpster difference. Wide, and they built it for two, so they could almost take 10 away instantly and it not cost as much.
Yeah.
But they're going to leave the eastern wall, move it onto that side, move two parking stalls over. I'd rather have the dumpster than parking, but
hey,
the parking is allowed right there.
One thing that I heard that's come up from that, that I think we ought to look at when we do this residential and then commercial right back to each other. A couple of people are in the neighborhood and they're complaining that people are going out to the dumpster and using that as their smoke designated smoking site. And they're getting tobacco smoke in, you know, their kids and whatnot. So I'm thinking the next time we do that, maybe we ought to think about getting a designated smoking place someplace in the new commercial development that's not close to the property line.
Is that a zoning issue or a health issue?
Yes.
Come on, you're the attorney.
It's probably more of a health issue than a zoning. So the health department.
Is it a permitted use?
I don't think it's covered at all, is it?
It's probably not covered.
We could designate the adult novelty shop as the smoking area for boys. There
you go.
You really want to open a can of worms.
I think that would go over. Yeah. Sorry to trash you over there. You just stay there.
Again, when okay, everything comes back. When I represented developers, okay, we took suggestions from the planning commissioner or whomever, okay, about things that really the board liked and that they didn't cost much.
Right.
We put them in there to make us more palatable when we got there. So, again, maybe Steve needs to say, hey, they have a concern about this, and I know I'm putting everything on you.
Yeah, well, I mean, the concern's going to be is they got to be a certain feet away from any door entrance to the
right.
building. So where does that really put them in relationship to stuff? And what's the difference if the neighbor smokes like a chimney and the workers...
Well,
I heard
like
about
the,
that too.
The owner's responsibility, like or whatever the business says, no smoking within 20 feet or.
Yes.
Well, well, it's a health building, yeah, not your building.
You can't smoke within.
Yeah.
But outside of that, do we regulate that beyond the Clean Air Act?
No.
I mean, I get smoke from my neighbors all the time. It sucks, but.
I lived in a townhome and I had pot smoke coming through the wall.
Now you're bright.
You didn't.
I calmed it down a little bit.
Yeah, did you inhale?
After a while, you didn't. Oh,
I didn't inhale. I held my breath the entire time.
Well, if you put a fan over the vent to drag it into your home, it's not the same.
Hey, shh.
Oh, dear.
All right. What else you got for us, Steve?
Oh, is it my turn?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Uh-oh.
All right, here is a copy of your form-based code.
Wonderful.
Now, just so you know, if you look at mine, all those orange tabs are still things I'm trying to resolve.
I don't have those.
I know. So there's still some things that will change in this.
Sure.
But I wanted to at least give it out so you guys can kind of look at it. Now, it's very similar to our zoning ordinance. So you open it up, there's chapters 1 through 10. 1 is really where it starts talking about place and an introduction of things. It gives you an idea of where downtown and station area are located. 1.3 has the downtown place, kind of tells you what is going on. They have kind of roads or streets. So say everything got demolished and we could rebuild. These are kind of the street that we'd want in these areas. Chapter 2, again, is street types. So you have to kind of refer back to 1. On page 5, it has black, blue, and red. Black being the main roads, primary roads, and secondary roads. So it talks about how to address those streets with develop, you know, trees, what have you. And then chapter 3 is the actual zones or districts. So if you turn to page 23, downtown's broken up into 3 different zones or districts. So the purple is called downtown core A. The medium blue is core B, and then the lighter blue is core or general. So these come into play more later when it gets to uses in chapter 4. Height wise, if you want to start on that, the purple is 12 stories tall allowances, the medium blue is 10 stories, and the lighter blue I want to say is 5. The lighter blue is where, again, if we could clean the whole thing off and start over, is where gas stations would be located, drive-ins. So they looked at the purple and medium blue not to have those type of uses, to these areas to be more a downtown. Where you got buildings next to the street, you got, you know, some street parking, you got, you know, hotels or whatever right up there, and then everything else is after that.
This is where that new Falcon Hill thing is going on?
Falcon Hill, a little bit farther.
Farther up.
Over by the museum.
Okay.
Next page, 24, is the breakdown of the Front Runner Station. They've also included the business park. So there on the corner of 4000 and 19 to be part of this. So again, if everything was scraped off and we can rebuild. So the yellow, you've got kind of a light orange, which is, again, general station, or station area general. Innovation Park is where the business park is, and then the dark orange is more the core. They separated the core and the general to protect and kind of look at those residential homes that are to the east. It'll still be allow for multifamily, but it's going to be three stories only, so it kind of limits what you can have there. The orange, have at it. I think it's 6 stories tall. So kind of breaking down. So when you get to chapter 4 and the uses, page 27, which is my first tab, it breaks it down, lodging, civic, retail, service, and just kind of has a general idea. Then you turn the next page and it has a more descriptive of what is allowed in each of those. So neighborhood retail, under retail neighborhood where everything is permitted, it kind of gives you a list of uses. These are ones I've got to go through and say, okay, what does our current ordinance allow and how can I make this more cohesive with that? When I probably bring you the final draft to look at to take to the council, I'm going to take all these chapters and put them into our existing code. Mm-hmm. So chapter 4, the uses, will just go right into chapter 17 of ours. So that's where I want to make sure that these are all cohesive, so it's all sudden. Because a lot of other cities, it's each zone has a list of uses. So CC would be its own chapter, permitted uses, conditional uses, then you turn the page to where ours is one chapter, here's everything, which I really like. If you're a developer, I give you one chapter and you have every use known to man rather than 14 different chapters. So I'm going to put these into our chapters.
Okay.
So these people who developed this in a program called InDesign, which is a PDF or an Acrobat, I've told them they're going to convert it to Word, so it's going to take them a little time to get that, because I'm not going to buy the program.
No.
Because it's $60 a month for me to get InDesign, and I'm like, no. You're going to convert it to Word so I can use it. So those are kind of things I'm trying to do, is take what's in here. So you'll have it, I think the first three chapters will be in its own chapter, 4 will be separated, and I'll kind of go through each of them to put into ours. Chapter 5 is building types. And again, what do we want to see, what do we not want to see in each area? There's a little table on page 34 at the bottom. They kind of, as you go through, you'll see stuff called storefront, general stoop, limited bay, large format, yada, yada, yada. And each page has, okay, here's the storefront, and this is kind of what your requirements are going to be. So page 38 is storefront. And here's a list of setbacks, height requirements or allowances, and kind of some sample of what you can do. Six is open space. So we're kind of trying to encourage it to be a place. So developers can, you know, create little parks or whatever. 25th Street in Washington, not only do you have the municipal gardens that are there, but if you go next to the Market Star, and then between them and the Egyptian Center, there's a little pocket park. Yeah. I mean, to me, it's a little plaza. People come out.
But it's packed. A lot of people hang out there and eat lunch there.
The sad part is across the street, there's another little pocket park, but all it is grass and a sidewalk, and no one's there. But the one in between Egyptian Center and the Market Star has got seating, some landscaping, a little sculpture. Those are the type of things that this is talking about. Let's make some places for people to come and, you know, grab lunch and go sit down. So some of our setbacks as well is, like we talked about in the Focus Roy, you know, it's still going to be a 10-foot setback from property line, but instead of landscaping, let's make it a large sidewalk. So it'll be hardscaped along with our 4.5-foot sidewalk, their 10-foot sidewalk. Now we can get things, you know, tables, chairs, sidewalk, you know, little taco stand here and there, make it more usable. Like, you know, Ogden, again, they've got 14-foot sidewalks along all those downtown buildings. But they'll still own 10 feet of it, but it's hardscaped and they can put stuff out there. Yeah. Chapter 7 is just talks about landscaping, trees, irrigation. So how they're going to approach the street, parking lots. So things that I get to try to integrate with what we've got and what we've talked about here. Chapter 8 is parking. This does reduce parking. Again, one of those aspects, if you have multifamily and it's next to the tracks, why have 2.5 stalls per unit? Why not make it 1.5? Again, just kind of looking at reducing. That will also help us with our affordable housing aspect. One of the list of 23 is to look at reducing parking requirements. So,
can we make like pocket homes next to the pocket parks? Does that work?
We can look at it.
That's San Francisco.
Tiny homes.
Tiny houses. Tiny homes.
I mean, I was in Mexico over the weekend. I saw this outdoor little cafe, but for lack of better words, mall food court. Mm-hmm. It's just a tent with some little shacks around it, and people just walk in. And I want tacos, or I want pho, or I want Italian. Why not? I mean, part of my thought is, why not have that as a food truck? You know, we can get 5 or 6, and it can be changed every day. But there's already the tables and some canopies and stuff for the food trucks to plug into, and they can just come and park and.
We're almost doing in Mexico.
Hmm? On vacation.
He was down there for his
neighbor. He was a little too, you know, I just segued his old reference from his townhome. He
was down there for his neighbor.
Yeah, that's fine. No, I think this stuff is great. I like the visuals, and especially the aerospace design here. That's pretty.
I'm going to replace one of those pictures. I think it's the second one. What page are you on?
56.
I'm going to replace that second picture because just a plane of glass.
Looks like an airport.
It doesn't really. I like the others that have some. And we made it so where there are primary materials and then secondary materials. So the primary is glass, metal. I can't remember what the third is.
Brick, natural stone.
And you've got a secondary list. So we're trying to get it so it does have variety in it.
Well, I like the vision.
Mm-hmm. Chapter 9, page 83, is just all about signs. Again, I think our sign ordinance is really good. We can probably look at some of this and modify it. I do like projection signs. It's really when you have the storefront and you're walking, it projects perpendicular to the building rather than just flat. Mm-hmm. 25th Street, again, is a perfect example. It's more pedestrian-oriented rather than vehicle. So that might be something I look at. Awning signs. Page 91, just put an X through it. I'm not going to do roof signs. No.
Counterproductive.
I haven't seen a good roof sign yet. So.
Come on, the Wells Fargo building.
Well, that one's historic. It's all, you know, it's currently against Roy or Ogden's sign code. And then chapter 10 is just administrative. Just how are things going to be done? We've already pretty much have this chapter. If I gave it to you as is, it would take powers away from you.
No.
So that's why I asked the question last time of what powers do you do not want. So
we want making veto rights over the council.
Good luck.
You can ask the council that. But this would just make the DRC more of the planning commission rather than the planning commission.
I just had a question. I did see in here where it allows for use of, like, I guess a tavern / bar or nightclub thing. But I remember, you know, when I was going for election 2 years ago, the people kept saying, like, we want a bar or someplace where we could drink alcohol here. But they said the Roy codes are, like, make it really ridiculous. Did that ever get fixed?
Because
I know it says see Roy code title 3 or something like that.
You would have to go look. Most of it is state regulated, so I'm trying to get our code to match theirs. It's like, do I really care if the state issues somebody a hard liquor license? Do I care?
No.
Yeah.
Let them sell it. Let them do it. Right now, it has to go to council for approval. Mm-hmm. I want to get rid of that. Okay. I got to slowly take away. Yeah. So it's, you know, to me, it's the state has more jurisdiction and
the state doesn't preempt city code.
Oh, it does.
You have to give local consent.
But locals can still say no.
Locals say okay.
But to me, it's like if there's a restaurant and they serve wine and beer, why should we say no? Let's just make it a permitted use.
Well, you say no, they won't be here.
Uh huh. So yeah. I mean,
it's that simple. That's where they make their money.
Maybe we're next to a military base. We're missing out on tons of revenue.
So let's just make it as simple as possible and wording-wise. So to me, it's like your restaurant, as long as you abide by what the state says, as much as you can sell versus, I don't care. I just approve it.
As a philosophy, if it reports with state statute, I don't have a problem.
Yeah. So that's kind of where at least I'm going towards and trying to get our ordinance to be like. If the state says no, I'm sorry, there's not much I can do. But, you know, same with smoke shops and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own regulations, and I'm just going to make mine like theirs. So chapter 10 probably won't come into play. Again, that's where probably half my
tabs are.
Okay. So I figured I'd give it to you just to kind of start looking. If you want to look at how other cities have incorporated form base into their ordinance, mm-hmm. I can give you a list of cities around. I'm just going to try to incorporate it into our existing. I mean, it will look a little different from our existing, but, you know, 5 of the chapters will be its own chapter. But when developers come, I'm just going to say, here you go. And it'll, you know, I'll say Title 10, but it's all in one little booklet, so they don't have to go through the whole thing.
And it'll have a link to your YouTube channel, right?
once I create it.
Okay.
And I like the chapter concept here, because what happens, like with the legislature and with election code, which I know really well, is you just get 10 different places.
You go look.
And then they change part of it here, but then over here, and then mm-hmm. you end up in the situation that with the you were in, where it's like, okay, well, either way, I'm going to be in conflict with one section or another, and our attorney several times said, well, which...
We can close the door now.
Mr. Paul.
Which side of the lawsuit do you want
to be on? The council's done before me? I lost the bet.
We're efficient.
Wait, I lost the bet.
You have to sign in.
I don't know about wearing that shirt. I'm not signing anything.
You're kind of outnumbered here, aren't you?
Yeah,
it's year's the year. You watch it. Just like everybody doubted me when I said Trump was going
to win. I'll bet you lunch on Friday that this year is not the year. Yeah.
Right. And will you really celebrate if it's 1 out of 9? Just say
yeah. That's all you need. It's a crosstown rivalry.
Every time you talk to a BYU guy, all they bring up is 1984. Yeah. Can they not quote anything other than 1984?
It's like tying 10% is good enough.
How many did
you
have?
National championships?
Yeah. One. Actually, they just granted us one.
We have one, 1944.
No, the Sugar Bowl, they actually just re-rated that and said that it wasn't scored right, and they gave us the national championship the year of the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, the year you guys decimated Alabama, you guys should have played for a national title.
They actually give it to us.
Oh, that's a Utah author writing that up.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
You can't go back and change history.
Where's the Wikipedia?
How are you doing? How's your wife doing?
She's struggling.
I see that sign.
Pause.
Here that's not good.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Just as information, my house is for sale. My wife has got dementia really bad, and we're going to have to make some moves to.
I talked to your brother the other night. That's how. Well, I saw the sign, but then I talked to your brother. So.
Yeah, it's. She's got frontal temporal degeneration.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. Rosalie's a sweet lady.
Well, just find a place in Roy.
We made an offer in a place in Hooper.
A huge.
I was going to let him
tell
you
take
that.
This.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks,
sorry.
Joe.
Yeah. I didn't mean to put a damper on
it. Oh, well, it's on the record now. Yeah.
Where is he taking me to lunch on Friday? That's the change the subject.
Yeah.
Is this who we need to talk to about changing the, getting our Roy City alcohol liquor licenses on my mistake?
We'll take them.
All right.
It's on my list of things to do.
Okay.
It's a long list and keeps getting added to
it. It's interesting. So to give you a little context, we just had that big dirt dig up there at Falcon Hill.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the first things that the guy from Northrop Grumman said is the city's got to work on their liquor license, liquor laws.
What did I say?
Because we're bringing 2,500 high-paid tech jobs, and he said, I guarantee you some of them are going to be drinkers.
Yep, most of them.
Yeah. I mean, they want hospitality in Roy to back up those 2,500 jobs.
Spending time in D.C., I can tell you what their expectations are.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I lived back
we'll
there
get
for
there.
A while. Yeah,
oh, okay. You know.
Well, I just saw your car out front, and I'm like, "What's he doing here?" But
meeting,
we shifted meeting time. So
working something the council should probably try to do.
Wow, I left work at 12 o'clock. I left work at 12 o'clock, and I've been doing city stuff since 1 o'clock. Oh, wow, since about 12:45. So
that's why you get paid the big bucks.
I'll buy you lunch whether they win or not. All right.
With that extra money you got tonight,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
Thanks, gentlemen. I appreciate your good work.
All right. Okay.
So any questions on this? Okay.
Good start.
Yeah, no, it's good start.
I've been asked to kind of start looking, and I did put on the agenda. I figured I'd just throw it on this, and then we'll bring in what other cities allow and not allow. In the next one, but the number of RVs allowed in the city.
The
as
number
in
of
parks
RVs
or
that are
RVs
on a piece of property?
That are allowed on property. Right now, our ordinance allows for 2 recreational vehicles, including motorhomes, boats, caravans, trailers, or similar, for a period of 48 hours owned by the property owner. Is there a number?
So all those people that have them parked in their backyard, they're violation?
They have 2. I mean, to me, it's I don't know why.
Well, that includes a boat?
I don't know why it has
48 hours. They can have
48 hours. To me, that's just dumb. But it's my more concern is the numbers. I mean, the 48 hours I want to get rid of. So to me, as long as you have a parking space, it's on approved.
Yeah.
Platform.
But how many is the question?
Maybe the bigger issue is those people that park them in the street.
Yeah.
That's a completely different
issue.
Ordinance that's covered by the police.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. But I think that's when they're
Everybody thinks of like, oh, too many RVs, the ones that park in the street.
Yeah, this is to be stored on property.
I don't know, how many RVs does a guy need?
And well, that's the question.
If you're talking about an RV and a boat,
yeah,
does that include like cruisers and stuff like that?
So some of it could be, do we care the number as long as it's parked on appropriate surfaces?
No.
I don't think so.
If we're going to do anything in that, restrict it to part of a certain size of the property. I have a neighbor, and I'm fine with him. He's got an RV. He's got a boat. He's got a big trailer. He's got an ATV and something else. I mean, he's obviously in violation. Uh-huh. Okay. But they're right. He's got a big piece of property. They're okay.
Yeah. You know? He's got a pad on him. Are you talking about Argus?
I'm talking about that, yeah.
Yeah.
Because right now,
he's got a cement pad that he parks them on. Yeah. He's got a big enough piece of land.
Right now, our ordinance does kind of limit the number of the amount of concrete in the backyard to 25%. And that covers concrete and buildings and stuff.
But he's still probably in compliance because he's got a big backyard.
I paid for the concrete pad.
I put one in
and my truck drove over it when I did my things and it cracked it up. And so that's my concrete pad.
So, I mean, is everybody kind of thinking, who cares about the numbers just as long as it's parked on an appropriate surface.
There's the key, and it's back off the street so it doesn't block your vision.
I can bring it to you. There are some cities that require it, or, you know, you've got your driveway, your house, and then they have that one pad on the side.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ogden says you can't have it, it has to be the front of your house, back.
Or the rear.
It can't be parked in the front.
Because yes.
Some cities don't care. So the question, those are things that we need to look at as well.
Well, I don't own one, so I would prefer to have it behind the house, but we'd have to think about it. As long as it doesn't obstruct my view of the road as I'm going down. But
I mean, it's still hard to regulate because, I just pulled it out there to pack it.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, as I drive by, and then a week later, I just pulled in to unpack it.
Do we have to have the ownership part of the ordinance?
Ownership.
Who owns the
unit? Who owns it?
Because you have the problem of people parking in the street, but then if it's legal to park it on the side, are they living in it?
Well, we have an ordinance that says you can't.
Yeah. Right, so that's what I want to make sure is that we're careful. Yeah.
To me, it's just it's parking it. Where and how many and what.
I mean, if I've got my father-in-law's and my, my brother-in-law's on my piece of property, and I'm still, is that okay?
Well, do we want to look at ownership? Or as long as it's parked,
as long as it's parked on a legal parking space,
do I care?
I think that's my business.
Yeah, legal parking's probably. There's always going to be somebody abuse the darn thing.
Or there's always going to be that neighbor that's going to complain, you're obstructing my view of the mountain.
You think?
Right? You don't even face the mountain,
Well, but out my bathroom window.
Yeah, somebody's going to complain regardless. I mean, I think it's fine.
Yeah, I asked the mayor. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still.
But we need to, you have to have a. Don't we have something about the parking surface that it's on already in the ordinance?
Yeah, asphalt, concrete, or weed-free gravel.
Because my son-in-law got burned on that. He parked it on his grass.
Yeah. Yep.
Neighbor complained, and he had to...
And you have to change that.
He had to borrow some money to pay to get it done.
I would just say, I don't know if we can do it or not, but because I know one of my neighbors, they have it parked in their driveway like all the time, and they use it maybe once a year. But I've been in other neighborhoods where they have it parked there, and they're on like flat tires, or maybe they're just sitting there.
We could look at it. They can't obstruct your legal parking spaces.
Or if they're no derelict RVs, I don't know if you could put language in there, and then it could just be
that's already in there. If it's not licensed and registered, it can be tagged.
Okay,
but if they license it and register it,
I don't like it when they park it right in front of their garage, and all of a sudden
they're obstructing legal parking.
They've restricted the number of parking spaces they've got, and then they complain they don't have any place to park. It's like, well,
move your
trailer.
Yeah.
So that's why I think why Ogden says it has to be, can't be closer to the street than the front of your house. So obviously it's going to be the side or rear. some of the issues we're going to run into is with side yard setbacks of 8 feet. It's going to limit
them
already anyway, because if you have a 1.5 foot overhang, you're not getting your trailer back there anyway, unless you have a 3-story home and then you can get it. But,
yeah, but that's probably on a super small lot anyway, right. Which I don't know if you really want to be parking. But,
So you would say can obstruct legal parking, and then that covers the entirety of that person's driveway.
Yeah.
And then they have to build something to the side.
Yeah.
Or I think on approved services, not to obstruct any legal parking areas, you know, including your driveway, you know, because somebody's.
Agree with you. That's.
And I think that would be kind of a good catch-all, so nobody's just parked right in front of the garage. If you want it, you need to have another place for it.
Yeah.
On approved services. I think maybe that's a good middle ground.
I think that cleans up the neighborhood.
Then you don't have to. Then you don't have to say behind the home. It can still be on the side, in the front, as long as it doesn't block your driveway.
Well, we have restrictions on how close you can be to the road anyway, don't we?
It just can't get into the public
sidewalk,
right away.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Or buy a smaller RV.
Or I know there's outdoor parking spaces everywhere.
So you're saying what we're kind of at is not in front of the driveway and at the house or behind, so it's not up on the side.
Well, no, I think it can be on the. You've got your garage here.
As long as it's not in your driveway.
Here's your driveway, so your legal parking's here. I can still park it on the side.
Because like mine, I could park an RV right next to the sidewalk, and it would still block off the roadway and things like that for my neighbors to get in and out of their driveway. So does there need
on the street?
A setback from the street?
The street's covered in a different title.
Right. Yeah. Not the street, but I've got gravel right up to the sidewalk.
Right.
So I could park it right there, and that would create a little bit of a hazard.
You might upset your neighbor.
Well, not upsetting the neighbors, but even just people walking down the street. If my neighbor can't see beyond my RV and somebody's walking down the sidewalk and runs over a kid who's riding their bike down the street.
Well, that comes into, should it be no closer than the front of your house?
That's what I'm driving at. I think there needs to be some setback from the sidewalk or the road just to make it so that there's a clear.
I understand. I agree.
Clear vision.
Four or 5 feet?
At least.
It's still somewhat in front, but not.
If you worded it something to the effect of 5 feet behind the sidewalk, we have sidewalks everywhere, right?
Generally.
Generally. If you no closer than 5 feet to the sidewalk, because then you have the vision that you're worried
for. Or what if you said like 8 foot away from the inside street. Of the curb? Because everybody's got a curb.
Yeah.
You're 9.5 feet back of curb to property line in most cases.
We need to put something like that in there, I think.
From the street, I think you've got to go from the street because some places are going to have sidewalks. Yeah. Some may not even have curb. It may just be dirt in front.
But you're right. I agree with you now that you mention it. Because if you're backing out and you've got your vision's blocked, there's.
And some of them with the tongue, I've had my kids almost hit those where they'll just park it right near the sidewalk as you're going by on your. Mike, it's pretty close. Where if we bump that back,
well, I'll kind of see if what other cities have.
So if there's a distance and then the street, something.
Okay.
Something to move it back.
And then if we change this, do we give everyone a time limit to get in?
Adjust, we can. I mean, the ordinance requires landscaping everybody's front yard and gives you 18 months. So,
okay,
we can do that.
Cool.
Trying to think if there was something else. And that is all I have.
All righty. Then
again, my list just keeps getting longer.
Yes.
Right on time.
Commissioner Minna.
1 hour.
That was before mine.
We did Commissioner's Minute a minute ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Joe stole my thunder. I was just going to say that.
What would you say?
I had to put my house. We put my house up for sale because of my wife. And there's a. We've made an offer on a home in Hooper that has a mother-in-law apartment attached to the house. So my younger daughter's looking to move in the house and we'll live in the place. If we
mother-in-law apartments are allowed, Roy.
It's, well, There's not one available. And I talked to my realtor, who's also a contractor, and he indicated it was 7 months and it would be more expensive to build because of the existing. So we've made an offer, it's been accepted, but we've got to sell two houses, so could be a while.
Yes.
If it's meant to be, it'll happen. If not, but I've got arthritis really bad in my knees, so I need to get to a place that doesn't have stairs. So I'm thinking the end of September. I'll send you a little note.
A year and a half ago, we left our townhome because my wife can't do stairs, so we're in a small little rambler. So
that's, yeah, it's, and my daughter's got four children, and the place is tiny, so she needs the room for the bigger house. So
you can just put an RV pad in.
As long as it's on the side of the house.
Yeah, exactly.
They already have the RV, and we're not welcome.
Well,
he's got the big fifth wheel, the whole doodah, and it's no. He takes it up to the Uintas every summer. So
this
I think is what we need to do. So
okay,
because she's progressing pretty quick. It's going fast. It's. Mm-hmm. She's back to when she lived in Millville when she was 12, 13 years old, and it's really a challenge.
Okay.
She's on hospice now, so.
Well, let us know.
Okay.
All right. Anybody want to adjourn?
I'll make a motion, we adjourn.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.
What if I say no?
We're still adjourned.